Praise God. So let's pray. Dear Father, we're approaching the Word of God. Father, anoint your people to receive. May they stay focused. May their minds stay focused. And Father, we know that between both, the Word being preached and the mind receiving the understanding of it, Father, we know that that creates great victory in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, last Sunday, I thought it would be my last session on what it means to have a healthy faith. And we talked about some of the attributes of being able to discern whether you have, your faith is healthy enough. It's amazing how so many believers run into a test or trial, and they really don't know how to approach a test or trial in their faith, because there are some major things that we need to consider when we talk about the issues of faith. Faith has gotten a very bad name over the years, but thank God, God has opened up the avenue to where what many ministers have been preaching on the format of faith. And the reason a lot of people don't really connect to the message of faith, it doesn't have anything to do with God at all. It has everything to do with how spiritual you really are. And spiritual development is so important. It's so different than trying to maintain a status quo until Jesus comes and takes a church. There are all kinds of believers that are believing things that do not promote or cause them to grow in their faith. And so what we try to do as a ministry is try to give you some heads up as to how you can examine yourself whether you are in the faith or not. And that's more important than anything else. Not that we would promote the message of faith, but give you something that would help you develop and grow. And so we brought out all the different meanings. As a matter of fact, did you guys all get your sheet on this? If you didn't get it, did you get a sheet? No. Okay. At the end of the service, we have them out in the foyer, so you can get a copy of the notes. But we brought out basically 13 points about how you can examine whether you are in the proper faith or not, whether you're healthy and developing. One, it's affirmed in fellowship. That's why we're going to be talking about the book of 1 John beginning tonight. I want to encourage as many of you can to come out and receive the insight that you gain from that little epistle. It's very important. It'll cause you to grow and develop. But we brought out a healthy faith is affirmed in our fellowship. It never exists on isolated lifestyle or small groups that insist on strange beliefs and practices, but he is faithful to the body of Christ and involved in the church. We brought that out in 2 Peter 1:20. They see God as love. They don't see him as a condemning or a sentence God. They see him as love. He fosters a good self-esteem in our life. He meets reality. He's able to cushion future shock. He manages stress and anxiety well. He finds joy in giving. He expresses anger constructively. He balances work and play and worship. God does not like a false balance in our life. He loves and forgives others. He avoids being offended. He is mindful that he can do nothing outside the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The path of their faith is laid first by wisdom. So these are the points that we brought out how it can tell you whether you're in a healthy faith. And that's important to understand it. Also, you need to understand that faith, our faith, comes basically in three forms. We have what we call the triumphant faith. Then we have what we call the transforming faith. And then we have transcending faith. The victorious faith is where our when we're under a sudden attack or we get hit with some bad news or whatever it is, God will strengthen us on the inside to overcome that test or trial. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And if He's overcome the world and He's given us His inheritance, so we also can overcome the world. And then we have what we call transforming faith. This is what we're going to concentrate on today. And that is where we literally challenge ourselves to a new way of thinking. That's not an easy process. And then the transcending faith is where down the road of time, you're never moved by the principles that God builds in your heart. You stay faithful and consistent, not only with your own life, but also with the church. You're found faithful and consistent. People can count on you. So, with that thought in mind, let's go to, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's go to verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says here, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now, our translators put a ceiling on us there by not bringing out the true meaning of the interpretation. And so we're going to read it after the original text. Test yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not perceive yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are counterfeits? You are a counterfeit. But I trust that you will know that we are not a counterfeit. And so, you know what a counterfeit is. It appears to be genuine or real, but at the basis of it, it's not. Just like when you counterfeit money. It looks real on the surface, but beneath it, it's not real. Matter of fact, we had received a counterfeit $20 bill, and we turned it in, and we knew it come from you guys, the congregation, but I trust that you did not know it was counterfeit, or you wouldn't have given it to the church. And so the bank called us and informed us that we had a counterfeit $20 bill, and that would be deducted from our monies. That's okay. I wanted to know if they were going to replace it with real, but that wouldn't work. Anyway, now it says here to test yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not perceive yourselves? You know, one of the things that caused David to be such a great man of God is because he was willing to test himself. He was willing to bring himself to approving first. Even to the point he says, God, you've been with me no matter where I've been in the earth. You've always been with me. But, Father, even those who oppose you, I hate them with a perfect hatred. And I got to thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Hate somebody with a perfect hate. In other words, he did not agree or was satisfied with those who spoke against God. So he had the right concept of how his enemies, he came against them, because he had the right understanding. But he gave us a little key to Psalms 136, I think it is, or 139, one of the Psalms there. He said, I always approach the Lord and say, Lord, look into my heart. See if there's any evil in me. And if there's any evil, remove it. You extract it. Well, what he was talking about there really is the concept of 1 John. But anyway, notice what he said. Instead of the word examine, he used the word test. This is a very interesting word. This word test literally means to search into something, whether it is good or bad, to reveal something. To reveal something. Now, if you will, go over to Romans chapter 4. We're going to learn something here today that when I begin to really see this, I really got blessed by the understanding of this word, to test yourself. Zahietes brought out a very interesting concept of this word. He didn't bring out whether it's good or bad. He said this word here for test literally means always for the good. Always for the good. And I thought that was very interesting until I went over to another place here in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to flesh? What has he found according to flesh? Well, when you read further along, he says he obtained not by works, but he obtained what? Faith by an inward change. Not by an outward expression, but by an inward change. He said, my faith, what I discovered according to the flesh, is that my faith is not based upon what my flesh does. That's religion. He said, my faith was based upon something that took place on the inside of him. What was that? Well, he said very clearly as you follow along in chapter 4. Matter of fact, let's read it. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. Notice this. Now, when he says who gives life to the dead, what would he be referring to? Well, did you know that Abraham was 100 years old? And did you know that Sarah had a deadness to her womb? And so that he was referring to. He said, God told me I was going to be a father of many nations. And in the presence of him who we believe, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I love the meaning of this. It means God speaks and creates a new existence into your life. You know, we don't look at our faith as being one who is transformed. We only see it a lot of times just by having to have victorious faith, a faith that will bail us out of something all the time. But really, the faith that will really help you more than any of the other aspects of faith is the fact that you can be changed on the inside of you. So God is able to speak to you and you believe in him. And then he said, that's why we could have a child, because God resurrected what was death into us into life. Who against hope believed in hope that he would be the father of many nations. So God spoke to him. When God speaks to you, he wants to put in you a whole brand new existence that you might have never experienced before in your life. And see, we don't look at God like that. And I got news for you. When I got saved, what did I know about salvation? Believe me, I wish I had more of the milk of the word to begin with. I didn't even have the milk of the word. And thank God that God still raised me as his son to a healthy faith. Praise God. And boy, now notice what he said here. He said, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, or Actually, in the Greek, it says, having been said. You know the Logos? We were taught that the Logos is a written word of God. It isn't. It's a spoken word. Well, I always thought Rhema was a spoken word. It is. So is Logos. Because when you get into your Bible there, people, I was wondering, why are they both translated the spoken word? It's the origin. It's from who's being spoken to versus who's speaking. And I begin to realize that when I read the Word of God, I have learned that when I read that Word of God, I'm reading His will for me. Are you following me? And it's not a dead letter that is written. It is what God spoke and is still speaking. He's not contrary to what He said. Ever. And therefore we, Rhema, what He, Logos, spoke. He didn't approach Adam and Eve and give him a wife named Eve and then tell him, now, Adam, you need to sit down and write a Bible. No, you begin to communicate with him. Talk to him. It was man that was later informed to write down. So, he said that he was the one who in the presence of him believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they do, or calling the things not being as being. One who is creating an existence, a new one. And it said, he not weakening in faith. He considered the body of himself to have died, bringing about 100 years, and the death of the womb of Sarah. And our translator said he considered not. He considered how old he was. And he considered the death of Sarah's womb. But it said he didn't make any difference between what he knew in the natural versus what God had said in the supernatural. Now we talked about this proving. There's one thing that you and I have got to understand about our body of flesh. That you are no longer living after the flesh. I hope you're not. Because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Even though you are no longer to be taking any insight, any more knowledge in, according to the natural man, but and not even according to what you understood about Jesus in the natural. You are to take in a whole different concept of what you are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means a entirely, completely different way of walking. Oh, that is so easy. Boy, what a lie. If I could get rid of my flesh, I would have no problem with walking after God. Why? I'd be there. But we got this little thing called prove or test. Test whether you be in the faith. Well, if he said, no, we know man after the flesh, What is that referring to? It refers to the fact that your flesh had been put on the cross through the body of Jesus. And it was declared crucified. So you know what that means? It means you got a living sacrifice that you're walking around in. Now, do we sacrifice him? Not too many people do. They more are conducive to following the flesh than they are their spirit. Pastor, can't you ever teach anything that does not indict me? I wish I could say yeah. But what are we supposed to do with this outward man when it comes to the situation of the Word of God? Reckon it dead. Reckon that it has no life in it. That can even bring life to you. All as it is made up of the senses. And it has that death nature in it. We find that in Romans chapter 8. That the body is dead because of sin. Or because he declared it as a living sacrifice through the body of Jesus, so that we would no longer be taking any more information in about what he, the natural man, would speak against the knowledge of God. It doesn't mean that the natural man can't have any input at all. Listen, that would mean that we have to do it with wisdom. But what it's talking about is when your flesh man speaks contrary to the revealed will of God, you have to stand against your body of flesh, that reasoning, and go with God. It's not saying, now that you're born again, park your natural brain because it has no value. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your natural brain has no value when it speaks against the knowledge of God. That's what I'm saying. Does your natural brain speak anything good? Absolutely. It speaks a lot of good things to you. It's called a natural conscience. So when you grew up, you were taught right from wrong. Amen? So your natural mind has a goodness to it, but when you come into the kingdom of God, your natural mind don't come into the kingdom of God. It stays where it's been. Basically. And so when you get into the Word of God and you start putting your thinking in perspective or in line to the Word of God, then you begin to realize there's a whole lot in your thinking, even though you have a portion of good in it, there's a whole lot in your thinking that is not conducive to God's thinking. That's why I always approach the Word of God. I learned this 16 years ago, that now I approach the Word of God. It doesn't give a hill of beans what I think or conceive God to be. I get into His Word now and say, God, You reveal Yourself to me. I don't want to interpret the Bible according to what I think. I want to know what You're saying to me so I can conform myself, transform my thinking to understand how You think. Oh, isn't that easy to say? Wasn't that easy to say? I deal with it every day with people. It's like a... And it really bothers you because I think we're living in a society that affects the way we're thinking. And we've got to be careful of that. So, if you understand, now we've been having some gospel being taught us that the way to true spirituality is brought about through the flesh. Outward, inward. Not my Bible. It says it starts inward and works its way outward. Manifests in the body. I had one brother say that the new birth doesn't do anything for you but bring you into the kingdom of God. But real change is outward. That blew me away when he said that. I said, how could he write this down like that? Boy, I'll tell you what, I scrutinize what I hear. And I want to hear what is right from what is wrong. And I want to bond to what is right. A lot of Christians only hear something, they never bond to it. Jesus said, if they would hear what I'm saying, they could heal themselves. He said it many places. Now, with that thought in mind, go to Romans 12:2. And we're going to talk about test yourself. I really believe, according to the original tongue, I really believe the word test refers to what is good. What is good? Not just evil, but what is good. And when you find that your mind is being renewed to what is good, you'll find that if there's any evil thinking in you, it will lose its hold on you. So, we're going to go to Romans 12. We're going to look at 1 and 2. And we're not going to go much further than that. But I hope I'm going to put across to you a clear understanding of what it means that you are to test yourself whether you're in the faith or not. You know, it's one good thing for us to say, test yourself whether you're in the faith. But it's another thing, how do you test yourself? So I'm going to share with you how you test yourself whether you're in the faith or not. Okay? Now, this is a message that doesn't belong to sovereignty. This is not a message that belongs to a believer who's thinking that if he just hangs in there with no change in his life till Jesus comes and takes him out of here. This is a doctrine that does not fit if it be thy will. Because transformation of your thinking is predicated on knowing his will. Well, when I get into a prayer session with people, I try not to be critical, but man, when they come up with it, the Lord, let it be thy will. Let it be, if it is your will, let it be thy will. Well, tell me what his will is, so I can talk to him about it. Because he left us his will so that we can do what? Affirm it. Okay, here we go. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I like what it said in the Greek. It is your logical service. In other words, when you were put to death on the cross and identified with him in that death, your reasonable or logical service from that point on is that you're no longer motivated by what comes out of the flesh. You have to be motivated by an inward change in your thinking through the will of God. Is this helping you? Well, you're awful quiet. Well, he says here, the first thing you have to do is your physical man, your natural way of thinking, everything involved in him, should have no precedence over a change that has to take place in you. Now, this is where your natural mind can speak against the knowledge of God, because Romans 8:7 says it will speak against God every time the Spirit speaks. It says right away it'll come with arguments and reasonings because it does not understand God. Boy, if we could get a hold of that. That's how the enemy brought the nature of death into the world, is through Adam and Eve's carnal mind. Not through their spirit. Their carnal mind. Now notice what he says. And do not be conformed. This is a very interesting word. It's a compound word. And really, when you read this, it literally means do not be formed, molded, or shaped, or fashioned through an outward conformity. In other words, when the will of God is going to come into your life, the outward person that you are can easily have a molding or a shaping that's contrary to the will of God. And wherever that is in your thinking, you see, when God's word indicts that thinking, don't allow yourself to be conformed outwardly to that kind of thinking. Matter of fact, the other part of that word literally is where we get the word schema, which literally means a renting or a tearing away from. So, first of all, the writer is telling us when you present your body a living sacrifice, the next thing you have to understand about mind changing in your life, where you're going to change in the way that you think, is that you have to be careful that the world does not conform you to it in the aspect of the way it thinks. You've got to know that that kind of thinking will tear you away from the will of God. Boy, I'm glad I'm not having to cut wood here giving this message. You're all sitting there. So he lets us know right up front. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after it and be used as a form of transformation by an outward experience. Boy, how many believers have been caught up in that? Well, I tried that faith stuff and it don't work. Why? Because they did not depart or tear themselves away from what the mind was saying. What they did is their mind actually removed itself from the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? By faith, I believe that. So he's really saying here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. You know what? When I read that, I decided to go over and read it out of the original tongue, and I was shocked. I indicted myself. So that I may prove what is that good, 30-fold, acceptable, 60, and perfect, 100. That's how I used to look at that. But you know what he does in these words? He explains to you, basically, how you test yourself concerning the Word of God and your natural thinking. Well, he does? Yeah. Because when I read it out of the Greek, I was shocked at what it was saying. It was Paul literally put there the avenue by which you begin to remove yourself from the conformity of this world, a way that your mind would separate itself from God, and actually you're approaching the will of God, a good and acceptable and perfect way. Not 30, 60, 100 fold. He's talking about how you approach the will of God by the way that you change your avenue of thinking. Boy, we could rest on that one. So, let's look at this verse really good. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that. It has the article. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conform, again, means to fashion together with or alike what this natural world wants you to conform to. It means to conform to the same pattern outwardly, not referring to an inward change. But he comes to this word prove, and it is the same word that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test. Now, are you ready for this? It means to test with the expectation of approving it. Approving what? The will of God. It means that if you really want to change the way you think, you've got to take the word of God, which is the will of God. You've got to take the will of God, and when you approach the will of God, you have to approach it with the mindset that this word is going to prove itself valid. You cannot approach the word of God and say, I'm going to try it, or I'm going to check it out, or I'm going to test it. Well, then join the thieves that went into the promised land. No, it says, the first thing he says, if you're going to go into a test, it means you literally are going to meet the word of God called the will of God with the attitude of approving it. In other words, no matter what your natural mind tells you, no matter what the world tells you, you are determined to take the will of God and approach it. With the attitude that it will approve itself. Whole different concept. Well, you know, Sister So-and-so tried that and they didn't make it. We knew Brother John. He'd been around a long time and he croaked. Because he got into that faith teaching. It is not a matter of approaching faith. It's a matter of changing the way that you think. You know, God didn't create mankind without a soul. He created you with a soul. You're uniquely developed. You're a wonderful, wonderful creation of God. But the beautiful thing about it is that when God called you into His kingdom, you were called into His kingdom in poimen. You were His creatability, His ultimate creatability. Everything that you came into the kingdom of God was through the creatability of God, and it's perfect. I like that in Ephesians. Now watch what he goes on to say. That you may test with the expectation of finding it true. Boy, that really puts a blow on a lot of us, including me. Of course, I've arrived to perfection now, but notice what he says. You may prove the good. Now, you know what the good here is? I thought it was 30-fold. But that word means the putting forth of the best of your ability. Agathos, which literally means that when you take and approach the will of God, you are going to put forth the best of your ability to see to it that that will of God will come to pass in your life. That's what that word means. I never saw it like that before. Wow, that does a number on my thinking. You betcha it does. Agathos, literally, the putting forth the best of a person's ability. Yeah, everything that's within you. And, we got and here. Do you know this word is a copulative word? It literally means the reason it is necessary for good, it has to go from good to the acceptable. And that's why that word and is there. It literally means a joining of single words with others, because you can't have one without the other. Which literally means if you approach the Word of God with the expectation of it approving itself through the best of your ability, everything that is within you, and acceptable, meaning a knowing what is well-pleasing to God, one who is recognizing what God's will is. Accepting it. Accepting it. Boy, God has to speak to you His will. You got to accept it. You can't approach it. Well, I hope what he says is true. You know what? When you believe what a man says, it means you trust him. Whew. Acceptable, a knowing what is well-pleasing to God. One who is recognizing what God's will is. And, here we connect up. Means that you can't have the good without the acceptable. Now, you cannot have the acceptable without the perfect. And the word perfect means that which has reached its end. It's complete, full, wanting nothing. You mean to tell me he's saying, according to Hebrews chapter 11, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? That He's a rewarder, and that when you exercise His will, He will not leave you ashamed? Oh. Wow, what a way to test something. And then, of course, the will is to determine the resolve that cannot change or needs adding to it. You know, it says the faith. Jude says, have the mind. And you know what? In my prayer closet every day, I confess that verse 3, that I am contending for the same mind that was delivered to them apostles. And it said in that verse, once for all. In other words, it's complete. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away from it. And Jude was telling me that the apostles left us a legacy in their epistles. They left it for us so that we would come to what? The exact understanding what His will is. Boy. So, what do we do when we want to prove whether we're in the faith? Well, first of all, you've got to approach the will of God with the expectation of it approving itself. In other words, you've got to approach it with God cannot lie. He means what He says. He will fulfill what He said He would fulfill. And that's one way I've got to approach the Word of God. Why? Because it's going to require the putting forth of the best of my ability to trust in that Word and not allow my natural mind to tear me away from it. But to stick to that will of God. And acceptable, knowing what is well-pleasing to God. One who is recognizing what God's will is. Do you know that God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts? Your ways are not my ways? He said right there, He says, for as the rain comes down from heaven and waters earth and gives seed and buds for the soil. Do you know what? It is impossible for God to leave us His will and not perform on it. You know when you're headed for trouble? When somebody warns you and you don't heed it. You'll find trouble. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The perfect will, the determined resolve that cannot change or needs adding to it. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you something. Did I explain to you clearly what it means to bring yourself to a test? Did I leave you in doubt? You know what? Did you guys know that there are all kinds of scriptures? You can write them down if you want to. Go check them out. That our salvation is complete. Do you guys know that? Present day ministry of Jesus is complete. But there's one part of us that's not. Our soul is saved. But our soul is saved on a daily basis. Find this in James 1:21, Hebrews 10:39, Hebrews 13:17, 1 Peter 1:9, 1 Peter 1:22, 1 Peter 2:25. It all talks about your soul needing to be freed. I didn't expect you to write those down. You ever call in to pay a bill and they leave you a confirmation number? I did you the same way they did. CJCCC3C632. Would you like me to repeat that? Yes. CJCCC3C. Would you like me to repeat that? Yes. CJCCC3C. Would you like me to repeat that? Yes! It's like somebody, when they text me or something, they leave me a phone number. You know, on what you call a voicemail. Hey, call us. You know what? If you do that to me, I won't call you back. Why? Because I can't figure out what you're saying. Be slow and methodical, because I'm kind of slow that way. Area code first, then three numbers, then four. But do it slow. I'm like that joke that I heard once. I started laughing. What did the snail say on the back of a turtle? Whee! You got to go slow with me. Somebody said, well, it's because you're so stupid. No, my mind's just too active. Did you guys get something here today? Praise God. Stand up. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, I'll tell you what. God is so good. You know that? Do you know that God is so good? You know, He left us the ideal revealed will of Him. You know, when He changes you on the inside, your character changes. You'll succeed in life. There are some people that are very wealthy, and then when you talk to them, they have a good nature or character about them. If they're wealthy and it's all by conniving or stealing, they will not keep it. They will eventually lose it. But if a person is successful in transformation, they will succeed in life no matter what you're doing. You will succeed. Did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. I thank you for the privilege of sharing the Word of God with them. I know that all of us have different wavelengths that we're on, but Father, it comes down to one thing. I'm no longer to be taking in any knowledge from my natural being that speaks against the knowledge of God, but I am to pull it down with a weapon of God and make it become obedient. That is our warfare, Heavenly Father, that is in our thinking. That is where the true warfare is. It's not planned off the strategies of flesh, but it's planned after the removal of reasonings that speak against the knowledge of God. Boy, may we get a revelation of that, Father. It will so help us to grow and grow in every aspect of our life with people, with our calling, with authority, with everything. Oh, Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for showing us what it means to test ourselves, how to approach the Word of God, and we have to leave our natural being out of the process that wants to speak against that knowledge. I thank you, Father. If there's anybody here that has never ever received Jesus as their Savior, we want to bring him into the kingdom, Father. I don't care what age you are, if you never confessed Jesus as your personal Savior, you're not saved because of your parents. You're not saved because you're grandparents. You're only saved by a personal connection with Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never gotten born again, I want you to feel free to come out and come up here and let us pray with you. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the day and age we're living in. You need more of a direct leading of the Spirit, even to go to a grocery store. Even to go fill up your gas tank, you need a leading of God anymore. You hear about those two young employees dying, and then you find that two people that shot them, now they threw their whole life away. What a tragedy. We need the leading of the Spirit. And so if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you, reach out for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So important. And if you're fighting a sickness or a disease in your body and you want to be free from it, hey, we'll lay hands on you. But you got to come up here knowing it's Jesus going to deliver you. Not no natural man. All I can do is lay hands on you and let the anointing flow. It's all I can do. But I can't determine where your heart is. So if you fit in any one of those areas, step out right now and come forward. Anybody? Feel free. Step out and come forward right now. Right here? Okay, sweetheart. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Anyone else? Come forward. Praise God. I take it this is healing. Yeah, okay. You're going to get it. You need healing, sweetheart? Okay. Okay. Mostly healing today. Now, I know you don't need salvation. You're like a mother to me in the faith. So we're going to pray for your healing. Okay. Anyone else? No one else? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and pray for y'all. You're going to get your healing. Praise God. You're going to get your healing. The rest of you can stay and pray with me if you want to, or you can exit. You're dismissed. Praise God. You're dismissed.